I'm sure that at some point we have all either said or heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. I'm guessing that we heard this in our youth. We probably heard it because mom and dad said something and we said, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll do that. And because we just kind of want to get mom and dad off of our back, right? We want to get mom and dad off our back. And we'll do that. I want to make that change. I want to be better. I want to do these things better. And then we went on and did whatever we wanted to do, right? And played that video game a little longer, played outside, rode our bikes a little longer, hung out with our friends a little more. But we didn't take care of the things that we were supposed to take care of. And so mom and dad came back and they're like, why didn't you do this? Why aren't you making progress in this? And well, I want to. Well, actions speak louder than words. Right? I want to do the right thing. I want to have a good attitude. I don't want to back talk. I want to get better grades. I want to do those things, mom and dad. But our parents would look at us and say, your actions are saying one thing and your words are saying something else. Your actions speak louder than your words. Maybe you remember a few weeks back, we started a sermon with this phrase that if you have to tell someone you're something, you are. There we go. If you tell someone you're something, you probably aren't. If you have to tell someone you're a nice person, probably not, right? If you have to convince them, hey, I'm a nice person, those people, why? Because our actions speak louder than our words. If we have to try to convince them with our words, if we have to tell someone we are something, we probably aren't. Have you ever overstayed your abilities? Maybe when you're younger, maybe as an adult, you overstay what you can. Yeah, I can dunk a basketball. I can hit a home run. I can do this thing. I can sing that note. I can make that recipe. I can do those things. And maybe it's something huge and complex and difficult. I can do that. And people looking and going, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, but they might go, prove it. Prove it. If you can do that, why don't you prove it? Can you sing that? Can you play that? Can you make that? Can you do that? Then it becomes time to put up or shut up, right? It comes time to do that thing you said you can do because our actions speak louder than words. And if you have to tell someone you're something, you probably aren't unless you prove it. Like I said, today we start our new series called Verbs. Verbs we learned in school. Verbs are the action words of sentences, right? It tells us what's going on in this sentence. It's the action. And a lot of times at church, we spend a lot of time talking about nouns, right? We talk about people and we talk about doctrines. And those are good things. Those are important things. They're the cornerstones of our faith. Because if we lose Jesus, we lose it all, right? If we lose Jesus, why do we gather today? If we lost Jesus, why do we sing today? If we lost Jesus, why do we remember him through communion today? If we lose Jesus, we lose everything. If we have no doctrine, then we have no form. We have no, there's no cornerstone. There's no foundation on which to build. So nouns are important, and we need those nouns in our faith to be able to build a spiritual house. To be able to be a church, to be a people who are after God. We need nouns, but if all we have are nouns and no verbs, then all it is that we have no action. We just have it collected in ourselves. See, if we have no verbs, then we just have this nebulous kind of way of life. You see, we don't believe in the resurrection solely as an intellectual exercise. Jesus didn't die for our sins, so mentally we can know what forgiveness is like. See, that reality ought to lead to something. It ought to cause us to react. It ought to cause us to move, to do something. It ought to lead to something, some growth, some development, some maturity. They say the longest distance on earth is the 12 inches between our head and our heart, and eventually out to our hands. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some specific actions that we can do to grow in our faith and reflect a life on mission with Jesus. And so if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. See, our we're going to look at the first two verses there. See, our faith would be so easy if it all happened just at once, right? It'd be so easy if everything just happened all in an instant. If we put our faith in Jesus and instantly we were perfected, instantly no longer tempted by sin, instantly we were just made just like Jesus. It would be so easy if we were immune to temptation and never sin again. But that's not how things are, right? I mean, if you live where I live, temptation bombards us every day. The choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing is just around every corner. And while we are forgiven and we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are still in this process of becoming like Christ. So we don't always make the right choice. We don't always say the right thing. We don't always make the right decision. So we're in this process. That process requires action. That requires us to engage in certain verbs to prove the nouns we believe. So here is how Paul encourages us in this process. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul starts off what he says in this section with the word therefore. He starts off with the word therefore, and this is the fourth therefore throughout his letter to his friends in Rome. And what he does is he keeps stacking them on top of each other. Like he's like, okay, you believe to hear? Okay, now, therefore, in light of all that, here's this next thing. And then he builds up a little bit here, therefore. And so he builds like A to B to C to D. And so he's built this course. And so what he's talking about, he's like, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything that we've talked about, how we are all sinful and how none of us is good and how the only hope we have is in Jesus. And that he died for us, and now, though, as we struggle in sin, with sin still on a day-to-day basis, for those of us who are in Jesus, there's no more condemnation. And so just one after the other, and so therefore, in view of God's mercy and all that he has done, what is our response? What are we to do? In light of all this, Paul says, "I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And when Paul says this, when you look at all that Jesus has done for us, this should be our natural response, right? If someone gives everything to us, if someone goes out of their way to sacrificially give us something in return, we feel like we, in a way, owe them a debt. We feel like we should respond with some sort of faithfulness. We should respond with some sort of gratitude. And Paul says the way we do this is by offering ourselves back to him. How can we do any less? It comes down to motivation. See, we're not doing this to earn anything. We can't earn our salvation. Jesus gave it to us free and clear. It is a gift to us. But from that gift, we owe him our life. From that gift, we owe him everything. So we're not doing it just because everyone else is doing it, because we're forced to. Because at some point, external motivation wears off, right? At some point, external motivation wears off. You know, at some point, you know, if your coach, if your parent, if your boss isn't right there forcing you to do that thing you don't want to do, eat your peas, do that extra rep, get this project in, you're like, I just want to be done. If you're not there, at some point, you just kind of back off, right? It's why every year when it comes around to swimsuit season, we have to start all over again, right? I mean, because we have to prepare for swimsuit season again every year. Like, if we just kept maintaining all year long, the prep wouldn't be so hard. But when the external motivation of the beach wears off and starts getting a little colder outside and we go through the holidays and there's all those yummy goodies, what do? We just, the beach is far, far away, and man, that cookie is right there. It's the last cookie. It does not deserve to be alone. So if we might as well eat it, right? Paul says, It's not the external motivation. It is not external motivation, but the internal one, an internal one of gratitude for what God has done for us. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Now, the picture of this sacrifice, it gets kind of lost on us, and probably rightfully so. Like if we had actual animal sacrifices on a weekly basis, that might get kind of weird, right? I mean, we might be like, that's not really our culture. It's not really our thing. But back then, that was, when Paul writes this, that there were, like, every religion everywhere offered some sort of animal sacrifice. There's some sort of sacrifice that was being made. And so this was a picture that was clear to their mind. And Paul's like, yeah, I'm not talking about bulls. I'm not talking about goats. I'm not talking about sheep or lambs or birds. I'm talking about you. You ought to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And so there are two words I want to kind of focus in here real quick. One is the word bodies, and the other is the word living. See, does Paul really mean our physical bodies? Because see, a lot of times when we teach and preach this text, we kind of use it as a catch-all, going, we metaphorically offer ourselves. We kind of metaphorically, we offer all of ourselves, like, hey, yeah, yes, you can borrow my truck to move. Yeah, you can borrow my tools. Like, here are my things. You're kind of giving someone a blank check to borrow what is yours. God, you can borrow me. It's kind of how we think about this. God, you can borrow me. I'm going to offer myself generally to you. That's what Paul's saying. There's a different way that he could have said that. But what Paul literally means is we offer who we are. We offer ourselves. We offer our physical bodies as a way to offer our entire selves to God. And we do this as a living sacrifice. In contrast to the sacrifices of the day, where the animal was slaughtered and then put up on the altar. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were all dead when they were offered on the altar. They were slaughtered, and some blood was shed, spilled here, and some blood was done this, and the bodies, in parts of the body, were placed up on the altar and burned. See, we don't climb up on the altar to lose our life. What we do is we take what we have and we direct our energies and our focus in a way that is in continual worship to God. So Paul writes to his friends in the area of Colossae, in the city of Colossae, he says this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, it might be teaching your children, it might be cleaning the house, it might be making dinner, it might be going to work, it might be trudging through the commute. Whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we give it all, we do it all in thanks to God. We do it all as an act of worship. Hey, how can I worship God as I'm here in the car? Maybe it's thinking through scripture. Maybe it's singing a praise song. Maybe it's letting that jerk in and wishing them a nice day, right? You're like, how's that worship? Hey, you're putting your heart in the right spot. You're aligning yourself with you're like, hey, after you. That's a tough one. That's tough. Hey, I've been there. I used to commute in Chicago, and if you weren't going 94 on 94, you were in the slow lane. There's a reason why they have highway numbers in the 90s up there, because that was, some people thought that was a speed limit sign, and so whoop, there's that. Align ourselves. How do we worship? See, it's not just a here thing. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's an everywhere thing. It becomes, we direct our life so it's an act of worship wherever we go. And too often we equate worship with music and we equate worship with singing. But singing is such a small part of worship. And we'll get more into that next week. Well, it might be the most visible. It might be the most recognizable. It's like that thing. But some of us are like, you know, I don't sing very well. Yeah, there's a reason why there's not a microphone in front of my face when we're up here singing. Because frankly, you wouldn't want to hear me. Most days, you're like, I do. You would not want to hear me sing. You're like, Mike, that's not That's a joyful noise, brother. That's been, and so some of you are like, hey, you know what? I'm in the joyful noise category too. But guess what? So sometimes it, when it comes to worship, when it comes to singing, we become like, you know what? I don't do it very well, so I really can't worship. Paul says it's not about singing. It's whatever you do, whether in word or deed. And when we align ourselves with what God wants to do, that becomes an act of worship. And it puts us in a position to be used and shaped and molded by Him. It allows us to allow Him to have influence in our life. We're saying, God, use me. I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice. Do with me what it is you desire. It's doing what we would normally do, but in such a way that God gets the glory and not us. And see, this requires a certain change in our life. Notice what Paul says next. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. How? What is this? It means we must resist the external pressure, right? The external force being placed upon us. To just go along with everybody else. It takes no effort to go with the flow. Has anyone here ever floated a river before? Whether in a canoe or a tube. I mean, when you are floating the river, truly just floating the river's taking you wherever you want to go. It's pretty easy, right? You just make sure that you have enough sunscreen, enough food and snacks and drinks to kind of get you wherever you're going. You're just enjoying the day. You're letting the river do all the work. Now, if you're like, ooh, I want to go back upstream, right? You know, that's where it helps, like in a canoe, to have a paddle. You're just paddling, you work your way back upstream. But if you're just going, you're just going. And sometimes that's how we go through life. We just let life take us, floating, in the words of the great philosopher Forrest Gump, floating along accidentally like a feather on a breeze. And sometimes that's how we do that. And Paul's like, if we do that too far, we're conforming to the pattern of the world. We're letting the world lead us. We're letting the world take us wherever we want to go with just the current of things. Hey, and so all of a sudden it changes our mind. It changes our thinking. It changes our beliefs. Because all of a sudden we're allowing them to shape and mold us and conform us into their image, into their pattern, into what they think is right and best. And we see this in our culture, and we see how the church has lost influence because in general we've conformed to the pattern of this world. See, the river will never take you upstream. No matter how much you want to go upstream, the river on its own will never take you upstream. The world says, make your name great. The world says, be you. The world says, live your truth. But the truth is, when we live our truth, we make a mess of our world. So Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is where the distinction here comes from the starting point. Conforming is being pressed from the outside. So think of it as a coin being minted, right? Until it is put into that mold, it's just a piece of metal. Or maybe you've been to an amusement park and they say, hey, put a penny in there and then put 50 cents in there and then you're going to crank it and all of a sudden your penny goes from having Abraham Lincoln on it to having like Silver Dollar City or Six Flags or, you know, Walt Disney World or whatever it is, wherever you're at, whatever thing you're doing, you press that thing and all of a sudden your penny is no longer currency. It has now been pressed into something else. It's been conformed to the pattern of this world. There's been external pressure applied. But the picture of transforming, it's more that of a caterpillar, right? A caterpillar that morphs into a butterfly. So you have your penny and you have this caterpillar. Both are changed. Both take on a new shape. Both take on a new identity. But where did the catalyst come from? The penny came from the outside. With the butterfly, the catalyst began within and began to transform that caterpillar from the inside out. Can I get a little nerdy here with you for a little bit?
Preach.
Two words. Two words. So, so conform and transform. So they are both present tense. They're both present tense, which in the Greek means continuous action. Okay, so we are being either, do not continually be conformed, but be continually transformed. It's a continual process. It's something that we have to fight on the daily. It's something we have to make an active decision about what we're going to do. There's a constant push and pull in our life, which way we will go. It is present, and unless you just wake up dead, you will always feel this tension. Right? Romans 7, the good I want to do, that thing I don't do, but the thing I don't want to do, that thing I keep doing, that's that push and pull. Do I conform? Or am I going to be transformed? It's present tense. It is constant. They're both passive. They're both passive. We don't think about so much passive words, but what this means is that this tension, this push and pull is something done to us. That we are not the catalyst in and of ourselves, but we are either being, the force is either pushed upon us to conform, or there's that force inside of us that's driving us to be transformed. And so it is being, is this action that's being done to us, either from pressure from the world or from the Spirit of God moving in our life. And finally, both these words are imperatives. They're imperatives. Which means that though we do not do the work ourselves, we consent and yield to the powers that are already at work. So we have a choice. We have a choice daily. Are we going to allow the external pressure of the world to conform us into their image, conform us into their way of life, conform us into their way of thinking, or are we going to yield to the power of God in us as believers? Are we going to allow his Spirit to work and to transform us from the inside out, from a leaf-eating caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly? Are we going to allow the Spirit of God to change what is natural and normal in us, which is to go and do our own thing, go and do our own way, and find our own path? Or are we going to yield to his Spirit to allow him to lead us to be more like Jesus? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because of all that Jesus has done, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, there are two models at work here, right? Do we see them? When is the pattern of this world? When is the pattern of this world? We can go and that is a legitimate way to live. Many people choose it. It is an option available for all of us. The other model, the other option we have is to live according to God's will. See, the pattern of this age doesn't just refer to the time that Paul wrote this or our time now. It's whatever present time the reader finds themselves in. So Paul is not just writing this to his friends in Rome. He's writing this to us today. Do not conform to the pattern of your age, because the pattern of your age, well, it's always going to conform you into the pattern of a fallen world. The Phillips translation of the Bible translates this section with this phrase, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Instead, we should be shaped by God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, the world wants to change your mind, to exert pressure from the outside, but the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing its power from within. So my question for you today is, are you a conformer or a transformer? Are you a conformer or a transformer? The other question I have for you is, who are you going to become? That's our verb for the day, that we are all in this process of becoming. We're all in this process of change, of developing. We are not who we are. We're not who we used to be, but we're not yet who we ought to be. We're in this middle section. We're kind of in this messy middle, right? Kind of in this messy middle. I don't know about you, but I like Oreos. Or... And double stuff, by the way, because Because why do they continue to make single stuff? The problem is I think they've started to like make the double stuff like the single stuff. But anyway, that's a whole other rant on for another thing. But the reason why you eat the Oreo is for the stuff in the middle, right? Because I mean, the chocolate cookie that is just decent. It's just a pressed chocolate cookie. But it's the messy stuff in the middle that we want. And we all kind of live in that messy middle. And sometimes you try to peel them apart, and sometimes it peels apart clean. You know, you always show that there was always that the commercial. Yeah, they peel apart and they lick the white stuff out of the middle, right? Yeah, did you had that sibling who went through and took all the Oreos and ate all the white stuff out of the middle, and then you just, or maybe you were that sibling. One way or the other, every family's got one, right? But we're all in that middle of where are we going to become? Are we going to allow ourselves to be conformed to the pattern of this world? Or are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? See, it's never too late to ask the question, who do I want to be when I grow up? Who do I want to be when I grow up? No one's too old. You might be, I'm too old. No. We're all growing up still. We are all in this process of growing up together. None of us here, no matter how old we are not finished products. Some of us, young or old, may still be maybe stuck in our ways, but that doesn't mean we're fully set. See, God still has work to do in our lives and through our lives. So the only question is, will we conform to the pattern of this age that is growing more and more against the ways and teachings of Jesus? We're going to have our mind renewed through the transforming power of the Spirit. If you pull out your phone today, there is a place that you can go, and a button you can push, it says factory reset. Maybe you've been so frustrated with your phone, with your computer, with your tablet, that you just want to throw it against the wall. Maybe you want to baptize it, all those sorts of things. That's a very expensive baptism, by the way. And you're like, you want factory reset. Factory reset. And all of a sudden, everything just kind of goes back. And you're sometimes factory reset fixes everything. And see, we are in this process of going through a factory reset. With our electronics, it happens in an instant. And sometimes it's fixed immediately. We, on the other hand, that factory reset takes a little while. Because we keep downloading viruses and malware, even as we're in this process of factory resetting, right? Even as we're in the process of being renewed and being transformed, we still continue to make bad choices over and over again, because the pattern of this world attempts to change God's word and teachings and ethics and laws. It changes things to try to agree with the teachings of the day. And sometimes we struggle with what is right and what is true, instead of just letting the teachings of God change our thoughts and attitudes and behaviors. See, we will forever be changing. See, the pattern of this world is in constant change, but the will of God is consistent. It's a consistent standard that we can align ourselves to. Or we can strive to do, and we can strive to accomplish a lot of things by our own strength, by our own power, by our own will. At the end of the day, it's like, hey, what'd you do today? And we can list the things that we accomplished, the things that we were able to do. Renewing our mind cannot be achieved by mere human effort. It cannot be achieved by typical human effort. It can only be done through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. John MacArthur said this. He said, the transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated with and controlled by the Word of God. So if we are seeking to be transformed by the power of God, it can only be done through the power of the Word, through the power of the Word and the presence of the Spirit in our life. This work can only be done through the power of the Spirit working in our lives. The theological word for this is the word sanctification. It is the process of being made holy, of becoming who God has made us to be. And we are all in this process of becoming. So who are you becoming? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? See, this process can only be done through the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism. Maybe that's the step you need to take today. Maybe today you're like, I need it. I've been I'm just floating along. I'm just floating along in this spiritual river, and I'm just letting the present culture just take me wherever it wants to go. And maybe you're not liking the ride. Maybe you want to do something different. Maybe you want to see some other sights. Maybe that way's promised a lot of things, but it hasn't been as fulfilling as you want. Maybe the step you need to take today is to choose Jesus as your Savior and to submit to Him. So as we talk about the verbs and the actions that need to take place with our lives, maybe yours today is just to submit, is to submit to the power of God at work in your life and to choose Him as your Savior. Maybe you've already made that choice. Maybe Jesus is already your Savior. And maybe you are still just kind of floating along in the lazy river of faith. Anyone like the lazy river? And it's kind of fun at the water park, just kind of float along, just kind of enjoy the water, the cool of the water, and just and the warmth of the sun, and just float your way around. But that's no way to go through life. That's no way to grow in our faith. So you don't choose Jesus. Even though you've chosen Jesus, sometimes we want to just hang back and we're just kind of comfortable where we are until Jesus comes again. Well, I'm just good here. I don't want God to ask too much of me. I don't want to step out anymore. I'm just kind of comfortable here. But that's not really how faith works. See, He calls us into a life of adventure, a life of growth. So we're either going to be a conformer or we're going to be a transformer. We're going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We're going to let God transform us into who He wants us to be. And we do this best by connecting to others, connecting with others in small group. Connecting with others through service. And we call these things, we want to build up believers and we want to cultivate compassion in the community that we live in. And so we create opportunities for us to gather, to study, to gather into fellowship with one another. And we have opportunities where we can go and we can serve and love our community well in the name of Jesus. Who do you want to become? Maybe today you're like, I think I know what step I need to take. And maybe you want to, maybe you need to kind of talk with someone. How do I do this? How do I grow? I'll be in the back after the service. Our leaders will be walking around today as well. You can pull one of them aside and say, hey, can you help me grow in this way? Maybe today you're not quite so sure. You're not quite so bold as to want to have that conversation. You can let us know by filling out the connection card. At cchmd.com/connect. There's a lot of boxes. There's like 4 or 5 boxes of things you can choose and connect to. Here's the step I think I need to take today. Here's how I think God is calling me to grow. Here's what I need to do to get my life and faith growing in the direction God desires for me to grow. See, we're all becoming something. And over the next few weeks, as we unpack some of these other verbs of our faith, that each one will take us the next step further. The next step closer to what God desires us to be. As we continue along this process, you see, our actions will speak louder than our words. Our actions will speak louder than words. Because if we have to tell someone that we're a Christian, and it's not visible by our actions, then we might have something to prove. We might need to be changed. We might need to prove to others through our actions and through our attitudes and through our behaviors who it is that we give our faith and allegiance to. So you might have to do more than just tell others. We can tell them that it's okay to not be okay because we're not there yet. But neither is it okay for us to stay where we are. So as we're in this process of becoming, then we need to continue to yield ourselves to God. See, if you're here, if you get up tomorrow morning and you're still alive and breathing, God has more work He wants to do in you and through you as we become more like Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus. Father, we thank You that You love us. And in spite of our sin, in spite of our hurt, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our sin, that Father, You sought us out and You chose to pursue us. Father, with Your own Son, He gave His life. He gave the very best in all that He has so that we might be like Him. Father, thank You that You didn't wait for us to get things right, that You sought us out. And so, Father, would You help us to choose You, to allow You to transform us by Your Spirit, that we would reject being conformed to the pattern of this world, but that we would align ourselves fully with you. Father, would you help us to prove it this week, not just through our words, but through our actions, as we love our neighbors, as we love our families, as we love our friends, our coworkers. Father, would you help us to love them well so they may see Jesus at work in us, that we may share with them the good news of your gospel. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, we hope you have a great week. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.